This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, sitting in for John Hockenberry this week. Thank you so much for listening. After a year of investigations in Cleveland, there will be no criminal charges against the police officers involved in the shooting of 12-year-old Tamir Rice. That news came from Cuyahoga County Prosecutor Tim McGinty on Monday.
A short time ago, we informed Tamir's mother of the grand jury's decision. We explained to her that this was a difficult decision, but that to charge police, even a situation what was as undeniably tragic as the death of her son, the state must be able to show that the officers acted outside the constitutional boundaries set forth by the Supreme Court of these United States. Simply put, given this perfect storm of human error, mistakes and miscommunications by all involved that day, the evidence did not indicate criminal conduct by police.
But for the Rice family, the shooting and subsequent investigation was symptomatic of much more than a perfect storm of human error. In a statement released by their lawyers, the Rices accused McGinty of, quote, abusing and manipulating the grand jury process. For more on the case's handling and the reaction from Cleveland, we turn to ML Schulze, WKSU digital editor and reporter. Schulze, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you very much for having me.
That perfect storm of human error that Tim McGinty, the Cuyahoga County prosecutor, described. How is Cleveland reacting to that characterization of the killing of a 12-year-old boy in a park?
Cleveland, of course, as any city, is a mix of parts. Overall, the public reaction has been actually relatively muted. There was a protest last night, maybe 3 dozen people marching from the place where Tamir Rice was killed over to a police station. Everything kept very peaceful and calm, as have many of the protests that have happened since November 22nd of 2014.
There has been some questioning and criticism of Tim McGinty after he said that he's not bringing charges here, about sort of his justification, saying the grand jury in this case didn't select charges. A lot of people had a problem with that, knowing that prosecutors shape grand juries to indict or not indict. What's the reaction to that?
Well, McGinty did say that he did make a recommendation. He did not see a criminal case here. He saw a tragedy, a human tragedy. And he is very insistent that he went through the review process. He was far more public and transparent about it. And actually, even those who criticize him do acknowledge that. In fact, that's one of the point of criticism, is that he was letting out too much information about the grand jury process, trying to steer public opinion even before the grand jury decided. And the family of Tamir Rice says it's very clear that from the get-go, he did not want an indictment. And in the name of transparency, he was trying to build public opinion that way.
Now, you also heard from the deputy prosecutor, Matt Meyer, on that perfect storm of human error that McGinty described. Listen.
The 911 operator never told the dispatcher about the possibility that Tamir was a juvenile or the gun was a toy, which led to the two responding officers to believe that a real man with a real gun was threatening innocent people's lives at a recreation center.
Now, again, ML Schulze, this goes to the argument of the perfect storm of human error, that when officers arrived in that park where 12-year-old Tamir Rice was playing with a toy gun, they didn't have any expectation that he was a kid or that it was a toy.
Yeah, and actually, this is the one place that original 911 caller is the one person who apparently was not part of this perfect storm. He did everything you would want somebody to do. He called the 911. He said, there's a guy with a gun outside the rec center. There are people around. He's getting them nervous. But 3 different times, he qualified it by saying the gun is probably fake. It's probably not real. He also said it's probably a juvenile. So in every way you would want a responsible citizen to handle that kind of call, he did. It's from that point on that things apparently became that perfect storm, because you have a dispatcher who didn't pass on those 2 key pieces of information. And as McGinty said yesterday, the officers raced in with very little time for anything to go in any different direction because they thought the gun was real.
What about when they got to the location, though? Despite the 911 caller, despite the dispatcher, the police have said that they believe that he was much older than he was. He stood at 5'7 and wore 36 size pants, they said, and that they thought that he was an adult, or at least much older than 12.
And the emphasis on the appearance of the boy has become one of the points of criticism of McGinty. It's actually part of a well-documented pattern where when white people see black children, they are often likely to describe them as bigger and scarier than they would describe a white child. And this emphasis on his appearance, there's no question he was large for a 12-year-old, but this emphasis is seen as almost saying, well, that explains it. What other people have raised is, had it been a white child with a gun, regardless of size, would there have been more time for it to have taken a different path?
So in May, the city of Cleveland agreed to a consent decree. That's an agreement to resolve a dispute without admitting guilt with the Department of Justice to change the way officers report and use force. Now, ML Schultze, this case is closed, I guess, from the perspective of Cleveland and Cuyahoga County prosecutors. What's next for the city?
Well, the city immediately had a press conference within 2 hours of the announcement of this decision, saying that disciplinary charges and administrative review will continue. There are questions about whether the whole approach was within departmental policy, and if it was within departmental policy, should that policy be changed? There also is a consent decree that the city is under. The killing of Tamir Rice occurred within days of the Justice Department releasing its investigation that found that overall Cleveland had a systemic problem and needed to do something to clean it up. And it is spending a great amount of money and a great amount of time in redoing its police department use of force, training, recruiting, and community relations to try to make a difference. That appears to be going ahead as everybody, both the Justice Department, the city, and the state would like to see. And meanwhile, the state of Ohio itself has set up a task force, actually two task force, to review police use of force and training and recruiting. It's seen as a tragic situation by everybody all the way around. That's the one place of agreement. Whether it should be criminal or not, that debate will continue as well.
No charges in the killing of 12-year-old Tamir Rice in a park in Cleveland by a police officer, but still failure all around. ML Schultze, WKSU digital editor and reporter, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm sad and I'm disheartened all at the same time. I just wanted to see something, some justice done, at least for the family's sake, for the city's sake, so we can get some healing and unity. Now it's going to be this discord, this separation again.
That's activist Laura Cowan reacting last night to the decision not to indict Cleveland police officers for the killing of 12-year-old Tamir Rice outside of a rec center. The decision is a new chapter in a long history of police misconduct and an adversarial relationship with the community in Cleveland. Here was some reaction from the community in Cleveland. Khalid Samad, longtime community organizer and founder of the anti-gang violence group Peace in the Hood. Khalid Samad, welcome.
Glad to be on.
How are the friends and family you've been in close contact with reacting now?
Basically, they're not surprised, but they're disappointed. We talked about 20 to 25 youth yesterday near the rec center. And, most of the youth feel that there was a breakdown from the very beginning when the first call went in. And talking to the adults who are familiar with the grand jury system, In Cuyahoga County, there's an old joke out that says a grand jury will indict a ant for being an insect. So they know that the power of the grand jury to indict is easy. They do it all the time. But they also said no one that I talked to who was an adult, in particular African-American community, but also in the broader community, thought that there would be an indictment. No one.
No one had any expectation of charges here.
And no one. I haven't talked to one.
And is that because of the facts of the case or because of people's expectations of how prosecutors and grand juries and police operate in Cleveland?
Exactly. The culture of prosecution, prosecutors, the relationships between prosecutors and police, the history of racism, the history of non-prosecution of white police officers for shooting African-Americans. In fact, to this date, I'm not sure, and I may be wrong, but I don't think there's ever been a white officer indicted for shooting a black person in the city of Cleveland once. And if you turn around and look at the instances of black officers shooting black people, you won't find hardly any. So that understanding is pretty consistent throughout the African-American community.
Khalid Samad, our last guest, ML Schultze from WKSU Cleveland, just described the long history, described the investigations, and explained that the Cleveland police are under a consent decree. Where do relations go now between a community and a police department that has this kind of history?
Clearly, this is where organizations like Peace in the Hood and other coalitions, you had Laura Cowan on just a little while ago. She's a part of our organization, and we coalesce with a lot of organizations. We partner and collaborate with the public safety department, city officials, clergy, and street organizations and formations where youth are involved in on the street. This is where the work's going to have to be done now in order to reduce tension and to promote, you know, some type of, you know, understanding in the streets, because if we have another situation like this, we, you know, it's no telling what might happen.
Khalid Samad, founder of Peace in the Hood, longtime community organizer in Cleveland. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.